friends, welcome to Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren and this is Internet Talk Radio from the west coast of Sweden. We are available worldwide over the internet at redicecreations.com and red-ice.net. Big thanks to Martin Dutré for being with us last week, talking about his book, his website and research on the ancient Celtic New Zealand. Fascinating material, and if you missed that, just tune into our archives and you'll find it all and much more there. Coming right up, we have an excellent program with Christopher Morse from creativecosmos.org, and we are going to tap into the cosmic jugular, as Chris put it. We're going to let the topics flow, so stick around and listen to this wonderful discussion with Mr. Morse and myself. Enjoy. We have Christopher Morse with us on the line, the Skype line actually. We're going to have a nice clear connection with Chris today, and that's just the way we like it. Many of you out there, of course, are familiar with Chris's writing. I publish many of them on the Red Ice website, and Chris was first on this show back in May. He's a good friend to this program, and of course myself, and it's always enlightening to have Chris on. And if you like this show and what it has become and how it has developed, you should really thank Chris, because he's basically the founder of Red Ice Radio. If you like what we do here, I mean, drop Chris a mail and say thank you. And of course, his website is creativecosmos.org. That's creativecosmos.org. And you'll find a lot of good stuff there. I mean, not only his excellent writing, he's musician, a visionary, and an artist. And he does wonderful artwork together with his articles. And I guess Chris both work with digital stuff, but I guess he also does some painting in the 3D world or the physical world. I have to ask Chris more about that later on. But anyhow, welcome to the show, Chris, and thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh yeah, great to be here. No place else I'd rather be on this day.
Yeah, and this is some day, because of course, this show is going to go up on the site on Thursday, but we are now, as we record this, on Tuesday, and this is, of course, actually Halloween. There we go.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. It's Hallow's Eve.
It's a Red Ice Halloween.
Yeah, what was it? The Red Ice Chris Mask show, right?
Yeah, harking back to our first radio celebration of all those months and even years now ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and by the way, regarding Halloween, is it too old for you, or do you still some trick or treating?
Amy and I carved some pumpkins last night, and we're getting a bunch of candy today, and we're actually having some people over, and my niece, newly born, is going to dress up in costume, and we're going to give out candy to the neighborhood kids. So, yeah, we do that kind of thing, too.
There we go. Very nice. I mean, this is, we have got this holiday basically, I guess from you guys in the more recent years, but it has never been, that big here before. But, I mean, this is something that I guess is very close to the American culture and how things are over there, right?
Well, it seems like at some point everything became standardized. It's like, these are the holidays, they're locked in, these are the cycles. I mean, there is a tie-in to, the marketing aspect. And, after a while, it's just, this holiday, then the next one, then the next one. But, there is a good tradition for Halloween here. And it's actually, of all the holidays, the one I find most enjoyable.
Yeah. It ties right back to the Celts, as far as I know. So, I mean, it's some good ancient stuff in there too, I guess.
Yeah, so on this day, it's supposed to be one of the days where the veil between the worlds is the thinnest. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a thing about that of where, after the trees give up all their leaves and everything, and nature is kind of winding down in the fall, there's a little period of time where they're not yet asleep for winter. It's a couple of weeks where the spirits are a little looser and can roam around, or you might be able to go out there tonight somewhere, and out of the corner of your eye, some tree seems to have a face all of a sudden, and you go over there, put your hands on that tree, tune your mind in, and maybe you'll actually have a conversation you weren't expecting.
Yeah, so the veil is thinner tonight. I guess that's the thing here.
Yeah, so we have a great opportunity here to really go out into the cosmos and tune into the ultimate truth.
Yeah, and I mean, let's get into that. I mean, how does, I guess, I mean, as always, the word to channel something or someone is always, you know, tainted with people's, you know, personal kind of relationship to that world word, channeling and so forth. But is that something that you feel like that you are doing as you know, write about different things and themes?
Yeah, sometimes sources come from many different places. You know, if you follow my writing, I never try to allow myself to become standardized. I always keep my mind open for that new and unexpected, and I really enjoy trying to come up with, you know, just something like I just try to tune in and just let whatever wants to come present itself and use kind of my mind matrix. You know, I've collected so much information and I've read so much material, both in books and, you know, in my old university days and on the internet. I just soak up just tons and tons of stuff every day. And what that does is it creates pathways in my mind. Hmm. And since I meditated and I'm not tied in with that, you know, I don't believe myself to be those pathways. I know that I have those pathways at my disposal, and I have general cognizance of myself moment to moment in the heart center, or just in a spacious observation. You know, I'm aware, I'm watching, and that includes watching my mind and my emotional state and everything else in my environment. You know, so I always think it's important to remind again and again, you know, that the bottom line is that meditation. The most simple an effective meditation is to simply observe, try to get a sense of neutrality, or, you know, they often say in Zen, like a mirror, or like the moon. That's why they point to the moon, the finger pointing to the moon, because the moon is reflective. It doesn't judge or interpret, it just bounces off what it is. And so you can be aware of it, you can tune into it, you can be a part of it, and then you can let it go, and it doesn't leave its mark on you in any way other than that you now have awareness of its existence.
Yeah, because as you talked about awareness and how you, I guess, how you learn to be aware of things, I mean regarding pathways in the brain, basically stuff that goes when you think hard or focus about certain areas. I know that even the physical pathways in the brain are created, and the more time you spend doing something, the more, you know, the neural network kind of builds up in that area, so to speak. And
yeah,
I mean, do you think that this could be one of the keys, for example, to higher awareness, or to kind of become better at meditation and so forth? Because a lot of people have, including myself, sometimes have having real trouble to, you know, quiet the mind and disconnect from it all. And I mean, could this be a key that we have to...
It's interesting that you bring that up, because what it starts, you know, when you're asking me that, I start getting like almost like a flood ready to come out. I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Go for it.
So all right, so now where were we?
About the pathways in the brain.
Yeah, the mind, you know, it's habits. You got to avoid habits, you know, and that's one thing that people all over get trained. You know, it seems like one of the ways we think that we're supposed to learn is to become trained in something, you know. Everybody, you know, your repetition over and over and over. And that's part of the reason they take that approach on the TV news, is of repeating things again and again. Our various leaders who will remain nameless, who like to repeat. Well, that's to create that mental pathway in your brain. And once it's there, if you haven't gotten space from your mind, that is now part of your self-identity and will influence everything you do. You know, a meditation is important for our well-being, but it's also an emergency in a sense to protect ourselves from those who would seek to infiltrate and manipulate us on that level, because that's a very significant level. We could go over that mental plane, you know, in many different ways, but the first key is to get that space, you know, a space just through observation. Just the, you know, I often draw in my art these eyes, you know, and the eyes, what's the eye doing? It's simply looking, you know, it's just seeing what is. It just doesn't have the interpretive mechanisms. And, man, so many different ways. Anything that you believe in a very, you know, I say don't draw conclusions, I often say, are also, try not to interpret so much. Like, often someone will hear something and their mind will immediately make the bridge to their own personal context. In other words, that which they already know and take as a given. You know, so there's so many we go through and take, especially, you know, in America, a lot of times it's part of the way we operate often is to just kind of take things as a given and assume, you know, that a lot of people just lock in on this way of looking at things, you know. There's kind of a segment of the population that seems to do that, and it's really hard to get past that because of those habits. They get so deeply ingrained in the mind, both on a psychic level, but also those psychic levels make that physical connection, that physical pathway between synapses, you know. So so you almost have to go in there and dig those out. You know, you have to monitor your behavior on an ongoing basis. And when you see something that is recurring, then you have to trace it back. And then you trace it back to that point in which it entered you, and then when you can see that it came from somewhere else, you must know it's not part of your essential being, it's not part of your nature. And so then you can and just in that understanding, if you truly make it your own, if you truly internalize that and understand the ramifications of what that means, that itself will transform the energy and release that hold. And then that part of your energy will be recovered. And so you have to go back into your subconscious to each and every one of these things. And this is part of the tricky thing about this mental plane, is it all processes through the mind, but the sources are from all over the place.
Exactly. And I mean, this, as you say, this connects with also with the people who try to use this method, basically, of repetition as a way to, you know, control us and put us into these boxes, right?
Oh, for sure. That's a fact. I mean, they studied how to do that. You know, they have whole operations on how to figure out how to push those buttons in people, you know. I mean, propaganda is the first part. You know, really propaganda is a form of sorcery, because you learn to use symbols and, you know, words are symbols too, just symbols and words and all kinds of just means to channel forces. You know, you could put any symbol up there, say this means such and such, and again and again and again and again and again and again, and pretty soon it's going to draw some people to it, or, you know, it's going to start. But what it is, it's taking one slice of existence, one, whatever that symbol means, and it's saying it's becoming, you know, and it makes people focus on the sliver and cuts them off from the whole, you know, and that goes into that mind, the way we were talking about mind earlier, is you have to have that freedom. You know, you can't see that symbol, lock in on it and get fixated on it and start seeing things through it. You back off, keep a distance. Remember that you're a soul incarnate on planet Earth. Keep space from all this stuff. And then you can see what they mean, and you can see what's going on. You can see the effect it's having. And you're free from it, and you can see all other symbols as well.
Yeah, of course. Could it be that we, on the other hand, are, I guess, put here at this time to experience things also on a very limited way, so to speak, or limited bandwidth, I guess we're talking about, I'm talking about, in sense of awareness, considering that many people, you know, maybe live their lives with I guess what we could refer to as a limited form of awareness, but that doesn't take away that it is a, you know, a less important life or anything like that. That's not what I mean, but just that we have been going through, maybe we have been even been reincarnating on this planet for many lifetimes, living life, you know, very close-minded for a purpose, basically. Could that be it?
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a really good question to consider. And yeah, I think some of it has to do with soul, where you are in your soul progression. I think to some extent, yeah, there's a lot to sort out here. To some extent, I got it though. We'll just have to keep moving.
So
for some people, that is what they need at this point in their progress. They're getting acclimated to Earth life.
Mm.
You know, I think some people are, some souls are born here, are of this place, and others come in from other places, other stars or other solar systems, and come into this place and then have incarnate to have the experience that this environment provides.
Mm.
You know, and so I see that a lot of people are coming from a lot of different places, you know, and you know, for some it could be like a vacation.
Mm.
And for others it could be that they're, you know, right at the beginning and they're getting the first rudimentary hard difficult lessons, you know, that their local environment is all they could they can manage. And you know, if you were to try to lift them out of that or push them out of that, you know, something that, you know, early on I did a little bit of, you know, pushing on people to try, don't you see, you know, but it, nothing that freaks them out more, you know, because it's, they're just not, this is not where they are, you know, it's not where they're resonating. And you know, you say frequency, I truly believe that, you know, some people are totally resonating in that sense, you know, five sense, I live in this place, I know these few people kind of alive, and that is their life. And you know, that's fine. That has just to do with where they are. You know, maybe one day, you know, in another place, in another time, they'll be having, you know, a different kind of awakening experience, or, you know, finding different aspect of themselves. So, you know, it's like underneath it all, it has that divine vibration. It's just how much you become self-conscious of it, you know, and you become self-conscious of it through experience. And the experience... you know, this is one thing I like to bring up, is just, you know, we often, even considering reincarnation, we often think of our experience just as tied to the Earth. But I'm convinced that souls travel here from all over the place, you know, and I myself feel that I'm that kind of a soul. That's partly how I figured it out, is because I feel very much like I came from other places or visited other places, like, you know, in the Pleiadian area and maybe in the Orion area. I mean, I'm captivated by Orion, you know, it feels like something I know. And, and at times in my deepest meditations, I feel that I tune into these aesthetics that I almost remember from that era or that time, because you can unravel not just this incarnation, but that experience of the buildup of all the incarnations. You know, we have to go back and recover our soul lost in the painful moments of every life to fully bring ourselves out and save our soul from being trapped in the forgetfulness that comes with some of the heavy gravitation of being incarnate here.
Yeah, and of course that might be one of the connect with one of the things that I want to address next here, because my previous question kind of connects this, because I guess it was a theory by the Egyptians, or I don't know if everybody in Egypt had this, but I guess a fraction or one religious cult in Egypt had a theory that the soul is not something that you have from the beginning in that sense, because it is something that you create, or at least help to develop or refine, basically, through your experiences here on Earth. And I guess this also connects with awareness, meaning that the more you kind of learn to I guess that you make your soul grow, so to speak, and that's quite an interesting theory, I think, because either, as you say, we could be, you know, from other places, or it could actually be that many people, if this theory, of course, is correct, not that they don't have a soul, but a soul is something that has to, it has to be, you know, you have to care for it, basically, and
yeah,
make it grow.
Yeah, you're very much right. I agree. I mean, that's, I think Gurdjieff talks about that, too, how, you know, and that's actually one of the, for those of you who really are aspirants out there, really trying to do this, it's a shock when you kind of see the landscape, you know, when you start waking up and start seeing what's going on. There's not going to be a whole lot of people around saying, yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, that's why Henrik and I feel so dedicated to what we do, is so that you're not alone when you have that experience, because it can be terrifying. It's like, holy crap, you know, things are suddenly very different than what you thought they were.
and far too few people out there are, you know, aware of what's really going on, basically. And it's like this experience. I mean, I can see it in some sense. I mean, many people, I don't mean this in a negative sense in that way, but I can almost see that many people out there are, you know, basically experienced robots, basically walking around. And it's not until, you know, this big life-changing events happen that they really wake up and become connected with themselves, because there is such a disconnection in their life, basically.
Well, it goes back to the habits. If you're nothing but habits instilled in you from the outside, there's no room for the soul to be. There's no room for the soul to get in there. People close it out and get locked in, you know, when they're locked into that point of view, you know, that's the danger of the ego. You know, it locks in and justifies itself. You know, this is the trick that I often have to tell people about, is that mind is not just, you know, it seems to take on a life of its own, and it will constantly prove you right to do what you're doing, which is why it takes those kind of shocks to break it up, to real basic fundamental shocks to cause a reevaluation. All that is just getting the soul a bit of room to get in there. You know, that's like one of my tunes. I sing, "Do you need a cataclysm to face yourself? To face yourself? To face yourself? Do you need a cataclysm to face yourself? Or can you do it now?" It doesn't have to be such a trauma. You know, you can kind of take it on, and you know, you take up that work on your own. You know, and that's how you become eternal. That's how you survive a physical death. You know, as long as you are the habits that are associated with this world, when this world's taken away, you will be taken away. But if you have unraveled that, allow the soul to shine and come to know your greater being, when death comes, you'll still be there, and it really won't be that much different. Only you will, in fact, be even freer with your energy body and need the ability to manifest with merely a thought. And, you know, still gaining that, you know, carrying on. Because really, you know, whether we're here or there or wherever we are, we're carrying on this expansion, this growth, this change. You know, this is why, you know, the Tao is change. You know, why Lao Tzu talks of change, because that keeps the habit from ever forming, you know, and that's why Zen talks about the absurd, too, because it's a way to break that up, you know, something strange to say, "Hey, I wasn't expecting this, so somebody is really talking fast, all of a sudden, whoop, stop, okay, all right, okay," so you want, you know, it just, whoa, what's going on, you know, and it breaks up that hypnosis, it's like, you know, repeat, and you get, it dulls you, you know, it's just like somebody thinks they walk by the same tree every day, but every day it's a living process, you know, because changing, growing in something new.
Yeah, because it seems like one of our, you know, collective fears seems to be that we are to be, you know, consumed by the machine or by the robot, basically. We can see this in a lot of different movies kind of expressing itself. I guess it's a deeper psychological theme going on there, but we have, you know, the Terminator and all the all the other movies about, you know, the robots coming to get us, basically. But in some sense, I guess it could be referring to ourselves in that sense, that all of our, you know, repetitiveness basically is gonna eventually leading up to that we are going to, you know, become like robots, because we eventually we might end up in a situation where we can't turn back or break out of that, you know, repetitive pattern, basically.
In one sense, you're describing hell. You know,
exactly,
being
yeah.
cut off from the source, being cut off from the light, not having any God or divine energy in your life at all.
Exactly. Yes, I mean, obviously there is a program running here. I mean, and the question, I guess, is if as George Carlin said in one of his short little clips I got on my site a while back, I mean, he said, they, in quotes, want people, you know, smart enough to operate the machines and then the paperworks, basically, but we want them dumb enough not to realize what's going on so they can break free from it. I mean,
that reminds me of a couple things. I recently told somebody that the best thing you can be in this society is mediocre plus one. Because then you have just, you know, then you'll get all the good jobs and you'll get this and that. And, you know, you'll be just a little past, but you still like them and you still basically live in that world and you still, but you've got just enough to play the game a little bit. You know, that actually is one of the things that burns me up the most. Hmm. You know, when people are doing that and they might have the intelligence to go on, but they'd rather just sit there and play it to their own advantage, but they don't realize that it's not to their advantage.
Yeah, I totally agree. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Chris, is I mentioned this just briefly earlier today as we talked before the show a bit here. And this is, of course, about the past months that have been, you know, kind of ongoing. I don't want to say that I've been, you know, kind of depressed or anything like that, but in a sense, I've been feeling like that there's a lot of stress going on at the moment, and I can sense it in many people around me, that there is quite enough, you know, tension building up, basically, and I just wanted to ask you, throw this out at you, basically, if this is something that you have been, you know, kind of picking up on in the latest months here. Is there something
different?
Yeah, a little
bit. I've definitely felt some of that in my own life, and I've really, you know, whenever I feel things like that in my own life, I always try to ask myself, you know, what is this trying to show me? Because even if it appears to be something happening outside, it really, no matter what's happening, it's trying to show you something, you know. Mm. And if you're feeling some tension or you're feeling angst, it means that you never really got the chance to deal with that in your path of meditation, or else it wouldn't be there. So in a sense, it's provoking it, it's fleshing it out. Mm. And so if you consider that what we're going through, this goes from the soul perspective too, you know, this is something we were talking about a little earlier, I wanted to get back to. You know, one of the things I think is that our evolution as humanity is now taking that route. If you consider that it's going from third dimension up into fourth dimension, which I believe, and you know, I think that's what the whole Age of Aquarius thing is, that's what I think the whole Mayan thing is, that's what I think it all is that we're becoming a little different. It isn't a linear progression. It's kind of a leap. It's a there's kind of a threshold there. It's, you know, you have to get over yourself and see yourself as a part of the bigger picture. And I think that somehow that the vibrations of just existence itself, or the standard course, or cycles of humanity, are leading us to this point of where there's a compression. You know, part of why we see the darkness in the outer world is to create this compression within ourselves, to where these things will be presented and we as individuals will be able to face what we find there. Mm. So it's really a pressure cooker which maximizes the potential for growth, if you look at it that way. You know, on the one hand, it could be, you know, things are horrific, you know, which in a sense, there's a lot of horrific things going on. And, and one is not necessarily an exclusion to the other. We have to be aware of just all areas of, you know, different ways of looking at it, just so we ourselves can monitor in the moment how we are feeling and deal with what we are presented with. You know, so I like to keep open many different ways of going about looking at these things.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wanted to connect this also with, of course, because I've been picking up on this a lot of different places, actually, regarding, you know, November and even the coming months, and of course the coming years. I mean, a lot of people talk about 2008 as being a really, you know, kind of dark year, I guess, but I've even heard, you know, hints here and there about regarding November now coming up. And I mean, is this something that you would agree on from a perspective that you are, I guess, you know, more connected to maybe to the overall, or are at least able to tap into it much better than most of us are? I mean, asking, do you see
something? I think it kind of, I mean, for one, you never, there's always the random possibility. I mean, that's the beauty of the universe is always something. It never quite works out the way you expect, and all you can really predict is kind of generally or like impressions or feelings. You know, and some people could be feeling, you know, you could take the point of where we're at right now, and there could be many different possibilities which could play themselves out, and a person could potentially perceive, you know, different timelines, or they could feel the intention that, or the intentions also of certain people. You know, there may be a group of people which might want to create doom, for instance, and so they're sending out that doom vibe, and you're out there scanning the vibes. You could pick this frequency, this, that, the other thing. Okay, there's a doom and doom vibration, which, you know, may well be there and may well be something that you need to hold back and work towards. But, you know, there's also a lot of heart out there and a lot of people that are getting stronger in their understanding. And, I think that it's kind of a back and forth that goes up into the astral realms. I noticed that you put one of my articles, Creatures from the Astral Realm, on your site today, and absolutely, I thought that was a good Halloween article. It kind of makes, it's kind of what I was starting to get at with that, is that, you know, it's like first, you know, when you're first starting out and you just have like the stories you were told, you know, you don't want to necessarily just believe in this or that, you know, a demon or an angel. You do need to deprogram and find for yourself what's there, you know, and be somewhat skeptical, you know, and go through and find your own truth, you know. Yeah. And when you do kind of tune in and you clear that out and you start to see, you see that, well, you know, manifestation and you know, the entities and the beings, they go right up into the astral realms. I've noticed before you've had some of the Manly Hall stuff on your site. And he goes into some of that. That's really fascinating reading. That's you know, talks about how some of these beings are really there, you know. And, you know, one of the things, like, to create a climate of kind of scoffing at that, astral beings, this and that, you know, or like a lot of people are predispositioned to just immediately filter that out.
Yeah.
Well, why would that be? You know, that's also to help keep you locked into, you know, a very rigid kind of thinking and just into your mundane world, you know. Yeah. No magic for you, no joy for you, no imagination and wonder and mythic understanding. And, you know, we love these movies that have that kind of a theme in it, but we think for some reason it's not for us. But it's really, you know, the heart longing almost for that reconnection to nature, reconnection to spirit, and, you know, reconnection to you know, all the other beings in our family that go right on, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, do you think that there are? I mean, is it all playful up there, so to speak? I mean, is there really?
I think that's where I started. Yeah, I think. Well, I think it's not. I think that the battle goes on there. You know, I think that it goes down and into the earthly plane. You know, that's why I really like David Icke and respect what he's doing, because what he's doing is teaching something that's hard to understand, so it gets a lot of resistance. But gosh, it's essential that we consider that perspective, you know, the stellar perspective, and the fact that there are entities, incarnate in human bodies, and not all of them are benevolent. And when we do open our mind to consider that possibility, things that are strange, that don't seem to make sense, suddenly kind of fit, you know. And it's like you have to ask your own intuition, you know. I know myself, over time I've learned to sense what I find to be truthful, or what resonates with me, and truly resonates with me, that the battle goes up into the astral realms. And myself, you know, I think there are, you know, some demon entities which revolve around feeling, you know, like certain bad feelings. Like, say you have an angry person, well, they will have that anger, they'll have that suppression in them, which will create absence. We were talking earlier about how there's no room for the soul, and there's this anger creates absence, which can become inhabited by astral entity that's drawn to that feeling.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like a possession almost.
Oh, yeah. Possession is way more common than people realize. I mean, possession is practically a regular thing when you see what's going on. You know, people lose control of themselves and act out in some kind of crazy way. I mean, sometimes you can see it. I mean, when you consider that, when you open your mind to it and you look at what is, and this is why I say you don't interpret. You just look. You give it a look of awareness, you know, the look that takes, you know, that doesn't like just doubt yourself and what you're seeing, just look and see what you see, you know, uncolored, and you'll see it. You'll see the demon in people, you know, you'll recognize it. You'll feel the vibration. You'll suddenly see the landscape of people. It won't just be all human bodies. You'll see all kinds of crazy things if you consider it from the point of view of vibration.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah, because I mean, there are even accounts of people that, in you know, in their own, you know, raving madness, they say that they've basically gone blank during that period. So I mean, they themselves, I guess their awareness at least, are not in charge anymore. Something else.
Well,
is,
alcohol too. You know, I noticed like that alcohol seems to have that effect of making someone open target for demon possession.
Yeah, I mean, why do they? I mean, it might be a ridiculous comparison, but they call it spirits, right?
Interesting.
What's that all about?
Yeah, here, have a liquid spirit.
Exactly.
Or, you know, drink this and let some mad being take you over and cause all kinds of destruction. But see, this is the thing. You have to deal with that, what the demon did karmically. You as an individual have no escape but to account for that, what happened under the possession of the demon, because you allowed it to happen.
Yeah, so that's almost like there we go into the ritual theme, basically like the vampire. You have to invite him through the door, invite him in, right?
Yeah, because they're, you know, not to go, you know, to go too far on the scary end, there's also, you know, many good forces working on our behalf. You know, most of us have, you know, loved ones, like like you have a family on Earth. Well, half of them are around you on the other side. You know, what you see in the world is not your whole family. You know, probably half of it that you don't quite realize, because you don't have that consciousness which goes beyond what you know from this world, but somewhere inside you, you feel the love that's coming to you from, you know, your family that maybe hasn't incarnated in this time, but you've been incarnate within earlier times. Or, you know, I love the Native American concept of ancestors, you know, where you can be in contact with, you know, your grandfather and your great-grandfather and back, and also... You know, just they had in their mind that when somebody died, it wasn't so far away. They kept them as part of their life. And, you know, you might have an initial grieving, but if you stay in the grieving, you'll only harm their memory and keep them bound to you. You know, you want to wish them freedom and send them love and good energy and release. And yes, I know you're over there and I'm here and I still love you and the connection's still open and I'll be there soon, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, do you yourself have a lot of, you know, I guess contact, you know, with parts of your family that has been, I don't know, maybe they're all alive, I don't know, maybe your grandparents or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I have two grandfathers that have passed, both of whom I've had contact with since they've passed. You know, it often happens. You can learn, and I've written out this technique, but I'll recount it here, of when you want to connect with someone, first you have that meditative approach and that attitude of like it's not such a big deal, like it's, you're just giving them a phone call, you're giving them an intention ring, you know, you think of them and you love them and you will draw them near. And so if you want to connect with somebody, you could, before going to bed, meditate and think of them and create that you know, mindset and go to bed. And maybe if you did that for a period of time, a week or 2 weeks, one night you'll suddenly have a dream. And these dreams, you know, they're not like the dreams which simply manifest themselves as reflections of our subconscious. They are... also, the dream state and the mind plane is also where messages come in from the other side. You know, as you asked me before, do I, you know, about tuning in to channeling and this and that. Yeah, I could. You can tune into all kinds of vibrations. You can contact all kinds of beings. And when you're not caught up in the mind, where your mind's freed, then, you know, literally, you know, you have a free mind, free open portals of which you're not constantly thinking about things which don't need to be thought about because you simply know them. It's part of your all-encompassing knowledge moment to moment. You don't need to think about it because anytime you're thinking about it, you're simply reducing what you're aware of.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, could this be a, you know, something that we are all born with naturally, a connection to this source, like another sense, basically, to ourselves, but the main... goal, I guess, from the people who wish us otherwise have been working towards this that we are basically in now, where a lot of people are not in connection with this with this sense.
That's the war for hearts and minds. They say it right out in the open. They want to shut that down, and that's how they can control you, control what you do. That's essential to control, is to shut that spirit down, because you know, there's a rebellious nature in spirit, there's a playful nature in spirit, there's you know, spirit can't be pinned down, you know, anytime you try to do it, it'll just jump out of the way, so I mean, really, I think in the end those controllers are fighting a losing battle. I mean, they can bring a lot of suffering to a lot of people, including most of all themselves, if they happen to tune into this program. I would hate to be in your shoes and have to deal with what you've done.
The basic idea here is to just help people to reconnect and to open their minds. And I guess some people are so deep, buried down into this disconnectedness that they aren't even, you know, aware why this is important. Because a lot of times, I guess that when you approach people with this kind of stuff, it's just that a lot of people find it, you know, just not interesting, or just because it's not a part of their, you know, their reality or what reality is. But I mean, is there anything that you have discovered that really, you know, heightens people's, you know, interests in these kinds of topics, I guess, or in this reality rather?
Yeah, well, one thing I've try to do, or one way I've come to approach it through experimenting with different aspects of that, is to simply put it out there for people to find. You know, it's like you throw, I try to plant all these seeds. You know, some people might be drawn to visual art, some people might be drawn to music or a tune that sounds like the Beatles, you know, but and then they listen to it and suddenly there is this message which just happens to trip that trigger. Or you know, some of the writing, some people really respond to the words, they read it and it's like code, it speaks to their soul. I tried to write so that it goes right through the resistance, you know, I speak right to the soul. I speak soul to soul, person to person, and that's how I try to do it. That's why masters will honor
everybody because they speak to the soul, and you, yeah. whether you know that soul or not, they do, and they see it, and they know your full potential, even if you're only actualizing just a bit of it.
Mm, yeah, interesting. And do you think that, I mean, you've spoken about a few times here about the, basically about the human, I guess it's the human evolution in that sense that we are, I guess, at a critical time rather more now than before. And maybe we could, you know, talk a little bit about that. Why do you think that is? Why is it more critical now than it had been previously, perhaps?
Well, one of the things is we're aware of each other now through the information age, and it's like we're catching up to all of history at once. It's like reliving everything that's ever happened mm-hmm. all at once, and now we suddenly have to process it. We have to, you know, but there's a lot of old hurts and wounds that don't just go away, you know. But we're kind of, it really is kind of a macro reflection of the micro spiritual journey, you know. We're having to face these things we don't want to face, and a lot of people are greatly resisting it and protecting the old way of doing things, the old way of looking at things. You know, you could almost say a state is, you know, is like an ego in a sense that protects the wounds and that which it doesn't want to acknowledge. You know, I personally believe that, you know, like we spoke about earlier, just that you acknowledge that and get it out of the way. You know, as long as you're denying it, you suffer on an ongoing basis, but if you acknowledge it and show the wounds to the light of day, it might hurt for a while, but not any more than it has hurt all along. It's just that now you're giving it the attention, and you're facing what it is, and so you feel that hurt, but then in time you transform it and you release it, and that energy is restored to you. You know, that's the true alchemy of the soul, of the spirit, is to find that energy and transform it and release it and allow it to take its natural state once again.
Mm. Yeah.
And this, to pick up what I was mentioning earlier, I think that the vibration overall of the universe is probably, you know, inching up little by little, you know, just kind of putting the pressure on us. But I think that's kind of in a reflection to that, people being, you know, it's tied together. Maybe partly things are increasing slightly, you know, just like a boiling water, you know. And pretty soon we're going to boil, and that's going to be the awakening, you know, where people see that, you know, they see that freedom beyond those thoughts. But they get locked in. It's like, it really is like a prison. That's where the prison is. It's a prison of the mind. It isn't anywhere else.
Yes, I mean, I don't know if it matters ultimately in the end, but just for the sake of that, it's interesting to talk about it. I mean, what is it that we are experiencing? I mean, if we are to talk about the nature of reality, I guess. I mean, is it, according to yourself and your own beliefs, I mean, is it a truly just happening inside our own minds, so to speak? Or is it a holographic model that is playing itself out, or is it a really a physical 3D or 4D, you know, kind of reality? What's your take on it?
Yeah, in a sense, I think it's all those things. You know, I think on the one hand, at the deepest level, everything you experience is somehow a reflection of you. You know, and this goes to the ultimate of where, you know, one being one with all things and getting back to that source, you know, you find that what was in everybody else was the same as what was in you. You know, that is the unification. When you get back to the source within yourself, it, you know, I think I've read, you know, maybe Osho describes it like a wheel. Sometimes you have a wheel and you have the spokes, but you could trace all the spokes back to the center.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so once you get to that center, I mean, you know, you could literally yourself jump into other bodies or almost switch into another person's perspective. It almost takes empathy to a whole new level of where suddenly it's you behind their eyes seeing it as they see it, because you are the atoms in them as well as the atoms in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that you could really slip through space and time. You know, you could do just about anything you allow yourself to be capable of.
Is that I guess that connects more with the kind of holographic / quantum idea of how the universe works, basically, I guess.
Yeah, well, everything, first thing I think is everything's in flux. You know, nothing is stopped. So the universe isn't anything in particular. You know, anything you could hold or stop or, you know, and I think maybe in some areas, what is it, I think Bucky Fuller talks about this. I saw this kind of visually reading some of what he's talking about, where there's pockets of synergy and pockets of entropy. Mm-hmm. In other words, areas where things tend to become more organized, like the Earth and the life expression on Earth, and then maybe other areas where things become, you know, less organized and tend to fall apart, and you know. So I see kind of the universe is kind of wobbling and wave. You know, there's areas where it's high and areas where it's low, and areas where there's this and that, and it's all in flux.
And
the average person, what they see might be, you know, the input from the five senses imprinted on the mind, and then they kind of follow that as if they're starring in their own play. You know, they're starring in a play,
could
and
it,
they live it that way.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
Well, once you realize you're in that play, you kick into a whole other set of perception potential. You have this whole other set of skills, of ways of perceiving, you know, intuition, telepathy, you know, you tuning into various sources of information that are there in these places. And, then that gets brought into the picture, you know, and you can follow this through these capabilities, you know, on and on until you know your highest maybe perception, at least up to a point, is back to that oneness of where it's almost like you go right back to the beginning. You know, it all is one, and you experience it all simultaneously.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I have a lot of more questions that I want to dive into. For one, regarding the quantum physics and so forth, but also regarding the Earth and a little bit about the nature of music. But we just have about 2 minutes left on this first part here, our regular show. And
oh, wow.
I'd like to add, time moves so fast. So, I mean, I'd like to continue now with you, Christopher, in our subscriber section. But in the last minute and a half here, tell people how to get your site, and I mean, you have a few books out there. Tell people how they can support your work. And
sure.
Support. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's creativecosmos.org, and I update the site frequently and have many avenues for other people to participate in. And we also have a gift shop that includes some of my writing in book form, and the availability of many of my art prints and some of my music. We got some CDs printed up, and Amy, who's an expert sewer, she has put a lot of great symbols on t-shirts and also some nice carrying bags. So yeah, cruise over to creativecosmosgiftshop.com if you want to check any of that out. So, well, thank you for having me, Henrik, and as always, it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait till next time.
Chris and I will continue our discussion, and this will be available in about 1 week or so when we're going to open up the subscriber section over at redicecreations.com. So heads up on that one. And this Sunday, we have Jim Mars coming on the program, and I know that is going to be an awesome show, so stay tuned to Red Ice Radio. Big thanks to all you guys out there for listening to the show, and big thanks to my technician and producer, Fredrik Palmgren. We will talk more on Sunday. Until then, take care.
This is Red Ice Radio.